أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته and welcome back to Ramadan Reflections. Today being the ninth day of the blessed month of Ramadan, and we continue our review of the life of the noble messenger, trying to feel as if we were with him in the city of Mecca and eventually in Medina, and trying to experience some of the things, at least some inkling of how he felt in various stages of his life. You know, the Prophet Muhammad, may God bless him and his family, had accepted the very first few verses of the Quran from Surah Alaq on the 27th of the month of Rajab, on the day known as the Ba'athat or Mab'ath, the day of his official open appointment to the position of prophethood. After receiving those first five verses, as we mentioned, that he returned back to the city of Mecca from what was known as the Mountain of Light, Jabal al-Nur, which is just on the outskirts of the city, he returned back home to his beloved wife, Umm al-Mu'mineen Khadija bint Khuwaylid, may God's peace and blessings be upon her. Immediately, without hesitation, without reflecting, without thinking if she should or not, she accepted and she became the first follower of her husband, her messenger, her prophet. Him being the final messenger of Allah, he was not just the husband of Lady Khadija, peace be upon her. He was the messenger of Allah, and she was his first follower, the first person on earth to submit to Allah. And almost instantaneously or shortly thereafter, the second individual to come into the fold of Islam made known his submission to God, his open acceptance of the religion. Not that he had any doubts, not that he had been a worshipper of other than God, of course not. A young boy named Ali ibn Abi Talib, Ali the son of Abu Talib, the son of a righteous father, the son whose father was a righteous man, the son whose mother is a righteous woman, he becomes the second human being, the second person to believe in Prophet Muhammad and his message. May Allah bless him and his family. Yes, he was a young boy, but there is no hesitancy on his part. He accepts Islam and he follows in the religion of Rasulullah. As we know, Imam Ali, peace be upon him, was brought up in the house of Lady Khadija and Prophet Muhammad. May God bless him and his family, and may God bless the wife of the Prophet. And so obviously he was naturally the next one to hear about and confirm his submission to Allah. And actually he's quoted in Najul Balagha as himself saying, at that time, he says, Islam had not reached any house in Mecca except that of the Prophet and Khadija. And Imam Ali, peace be upon him, goes on to say, and I was the third amongst them, meaning to come into this religion, to follow the religion of the Prophet. Imam Ali says, I used to see the light of revelation and messengership, and I smelt the fragrance of prophethood. And he was, as we know, with the Prophet from the very first day when he was taken in to be taken care of by the Prophet and Lady Khadija, peace be upon them. And he continued to be by the Prophet until the day that the Prophet left this world, and the Prophet's head was in the lap of Imam Ali, peace be upon him. The history of the propagation of the message of the Quran, it did take a twist in the sense that with the initial revelation of Surah Al-Alaq, those first five verses, the Prophet Muhammad, may God bless him and his family, was now officially commencing his work. And he was speaking about the revelation coming to him. However, he was still not yet in a position to invite his family and the clan of this new revolutionary set of teachings. So he was speaking, but in a very clandestine fashion. In those early years, the first 3 or 4 years, he was propagating Islam. He was speaking about whatever of the Quran had come to him, but to select individuals. It wasn't an open declaration. There was no open call to submit to Allah en masse. Rather, private meetings, gatherings would be held in the homes of individuals, and the Prophet would have discussions with certain people, and they would covertly, silently, in secret, convert to this new religion and accept his teachings. There were obviously people like Yasir, his wife Sumayya, and their son Ammar, who were actually the first family to come into the fold of Islam, and many others obviously, and they created small clandestine groups of believers who would frequent from different homes to discuss the new religion and the new teachings that they were learning from the beloved Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And this is where the verses that we want to look at today in this blessed month of Ramadan come into play, from chapter number 74, Surah Al-Mudaththir, verses 1 through to 4. And in these verses, what does Allah say? He says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها المدثر قم فأنذر وربك فكبر وثيابك فطهر. O you cloaked one, arise and warn, and declare your Lord's greatness, and keep your clothing clean. Now this, brothers and sisters, passage begins to inform the messenger that his job is going to be a very taxing, arduous journey. But he needs to, as Allah says, kum fa'andhir, rise and warn. Now, as we said, that it would not be until a little while later that the family would be warned, that he would have the event where he would have dinner and invite his family to this new tradition, this new faith, this new book of God. But this clandestine, secretive gathering, which were taking place, they continued for some time until there came a point in the history of Islam of a cessation of revelation. Basically, what we mean is that there was actually a very defined period of time in which there was absolutely no communication in the form of revelation of the Quran from Allah through Jibreel to the beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. Now, historical records of the commentators of the Quran, what they've tried to gather, it's not very clear when this event happened, when this cessation of revelation occurred. It seems to be about maybe a year, 2 years, maybe even 3 years. At least it was some lengthy period of time when this occurred, and we are definitely not sure why it happened. Why would God send revelation to the Prophet, send him ayat, and then all of a sudden stop? No information, no ayat come down to the Prophet. However, if we study some of the texts of history and the traditions, the ahadith, we can conclude that the revelation, the time period it was that it became cut off, it was before the general invitation to the public, and definitely before the specific invitation of the Prophet's kinsmen had taken place. So it was a time for the Prophet to develop, to speak to people privately of what was initially coming, and then Allah would open up the floods of revelation, so to speak, and give the Prophet much more of the Quran. Now, we know that the Prophet had not yet entered, rather the Prophet had not extended his call, I should say, to the public in an open fashion, but he was, as I said, speaking to individuals, but he hadn't opened up the special communication channel with individuals on a general, on a specific basis, to his tribe especially. And, you know, we obviously recognize the fact that wise men, people who have intellect and are leaders of a society, they would actually begin to chalk out an extensive program of work before they go ahead and announce to the public. You know, like in the world today, if you're going to start a new business venture, you're not going to launch it online, on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook and tell the entire world your secrets. No, you're going to work personally. You're going to try and develop the product, develop the marketing behind it, develop the branding, all of these things. You'll maybe speak to people who will become people who will work or invest in your project, invest time, invest money. And then when you're ready, you'll launch the project. And I would say for the same for the Prophet, in order to achieve the success that he was hoping to get, and to make sure all of his efforts were successful in the proportion that he was putting forth all of these struggles, it had to be a gradual advancement of the religion. You can't just announce it overnight, especially in the era that he was living in Mecca, where these people were devoid of religious teachings for so many generations. So during these 3 years, brothers and sisters, before the open invitation, although people had heard of this new religion, which Prophet Muhammad, may God bless him and his family, was promoting, and teaching in closed circles. Some of the chiefs of the Quraysh, you know, they heard about it, but they really didn't take any interest or express any concern, rather. They respected the man for who he was. He was still ultimately a family member, obviously. But probably they thought, you know, this is going to be like a passing fancy, a fad, and it's going to go away like everything else had gone away. Also, at the same time, the Prophet was not openly criticizing the idols and the gods of the idol worshippers. He was busy, again, with people who had a clear-sighted vision and that were interested. And eventually, after many years of these underground activities, planning and developing, Allah informed the Prophet Muhammad, may Allah bless him and his family, that the time was now ripe to begin his open propagation of the message of Islam. As we will see tomorrow in our 10th day of the Ramadan reflections, the Prophet would be told to hold a dinner banquet, to invite his closest family, and to give them the first open invitation to Islam. How would they accept him? They know him as trustworthy and reliable and honest. If they are going to believe him in matters of the temporal world, do you think they would have any qualms believing him in guiding them to the supernatural? Well, God willing, tomorrow we will look at this in the 10th day of Ramadan reflections. Until then, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.